Welcome back to Open Gym here on Texas Sports Unfiltered. Myself, Patrick Davis, alongside Matt Gallatin of Texas Longhorns on SI. And of course, you, the third member of Open Gym. Text lines open, 512-222-9328. And of course, over there on the chat, Facebook, Twitch, X, and on YouTube. Appreciate you hanging out with us here on a Monday afternoon. The portal is still running. And everyone's hoping that it runs faster, but in the right direction and all of that as we see it going. Texas did get the addition of another player during the game. Michael Massounis committed to Texas. He's got a few catches. He had three touchdowns this season. He can catch the ball, but used a ton as an inline tight end, a blocking tight end, someone to help you move the ball. Again, trying to get that run game going a little bit better than it was this season. So definitely not another Jack Indries replacement, but a guy that maybe in the sense that Spencer Shannon wasn't what you wanted him to be as much, then Michael Massounis is that type of guy to maybe replace where Spencer Shannon was going to be your other side tight end a little bit more, your inline tight end. And that didn't necessarily work perfectly the way you want him to. So a guy who can break out sometimes, especially in the red zone, but not necessarily your every down, going out, breaking out, a lot of times sitting blocking, pass protection, run blocking, all of that good stuff.
Yeah, I really like Michael Massounis. He's better Spencer Shannon, I think. And that's no disrespect to Spencer Shannon, but this guy's just bigger and more powerful and more physical. He's had a little bit of production in the passing game. I believe he had three touchdown catches this year, a little over 300 yards. But that's not what you're bringing him in for. That's what Nick Townsend's for. That's what Jordan Washington's for. You're bringing this guy, and Amari Winston, you're bringing this guy in to be a physical, you know, inline blocker that can help you in the running game. And that's kind of what they lacked this year at the tight end position, because they just didn't have that guy, that body, that type of guy on their roster. And now they've got it. So I feel a lot better about when they trot 12 personnel out there next season. Hopefully they're a little bit more dynamic when it comes to 12 personnel, and it's not such a trigger or not such a signal like, oh, they're running the football up the middle. Yeah. But you know, we'll have to see how that goes. I really like this guy. I think he's going to be a really good addition to this team, and you know, just another domino to fall for Texas until the big money starts to hit.
Yep. As it keeps going. And we understand we want the big move as much as anybody, especially right before or right during our show would be preferable.
Preferably during the show.
If Sark get that done, if you could do it like right when we're about to come on the air, so we could just be ready for it and then everybody tunes in, we just do that. If we could just get that done, Sark, we'll do that. I did want to touch before we move on to some other things here, Matt, in hour two, about some of the names of players who are leaving Texas in the transfer portal, and where they're headed up, where they're headed, because in the reality of long-term recruiting, of high school players, of guys coming in and where they go, you want to be able to see where people leaving the program go. So you want to see going to the NFL draft. But outside of that, you also need to see where people are going. If a player goes to Texas and they transfer out, are they staying in the Power Four? Or are they going to the group of five, group of six? Are they going to that? Because you don't want to start to see, well, they're not developing your guys at all. Your guys are not going to other major schools. They're not going to bigger areas. They're going to a lower level. So you want to keep your level of attrition still going to good schools, especially some of your top players. So what we've seen so far, Trey Wisner today announced his commitment to Florida State, which is another major program. I know they have been awful the last two seasons. They were really good to start the season, but awful like really last two seasons. But Trey Wisner headed over to Florida State is a good pickup for them. We believe Leong LaFalle is going to BYU, but that's kind of been the rumor the whole time, not committed yet there. Jarrett Gibson has committed to Purdue, staying in the Power Four. Connor Stroh headed over to Kansas, staying in the Power Four. And then Caleb Chester, young guy, going to Arizona State, staying in the Power Four. So no one has had to, even some of the lower level guys who never made the field for Texas, really, are still all going and staying in the Power Four. I know that seems arbitrary to some point, but it does matter. You also want them to be visiting, like DeAndre Moore is visiting with at Kentucky, another SEC school. He's been at Ohio State. We know that Parker Livingston has gone to Oklahoma, which is bothering a lot of people, that you're not allowed to go to the enemy. The whole Parker Livingston saga is a little bit confusing to people still.
Yeah, can I clear that up a little bit?
Yeah, go for it.
So I think that, you know, and this is no fault to Parker. I think that what he said was true from a certain point of view. He came out and ostensibly said that, you know, there wasn't, like, I'm paraphrasing here because I don't have a statement in front of me, but basically saying, you know, I wanted to be at Texas. They didn't want me here, and I'm moving on to a new opportunity. You know, that's the way of college football now. That's not exactly what happened. So I don't want people to sit here and think that Texas just pushed out Parker Livingston because they didn't want to pay him. He was offered an NIL deal. He turned down that NIL deal and elected to enter the transfer portal. Texas didn't want to overpay him, and I don't think that they should have overpaid him. I think that if you're going to try and, you know, upgrade at wide receiver, then, you know, you can't overpay for your number four wide receiver. So that's why I think that all went down, and that's okay. Like, Parker Livingston is going to go somewhere, and he's going to be really good. We hope that it's not Oklahoma, not just so that we have to watch him on the Oklahoma, you know, in the Cotton Bowl when they're playing Oklahoma, but also because we don't want to have him catching balls from John Mateer or trying to catch balls from John Mateer, because he wouldn't be a very good, you know, quarterback to try to get you the football. Indiana is also on that list, and I think Indiana would be an awesome opportunity for him.
Yep.
You know, he'd go to a national title contender. He'd be one of their best wide receivers. He's going to get a really good quarterback in Josh Hoover, who's going to Indiana next season. And that would be an ideal situation for him. But let's not sit here and act like Texas is just forcing players out because they're not, you know, because they don't like them. Because that's not what happened with Parker Livingston at all.
No. So here's the actual quote. And this is the end of his statement. But it's, never in a million years did I think I would be going into the portal looking for a new home. Some things are out of my control, such as the reality of the ever-changing landscape of college football. Emptied my tank every day for this great university, my teammates, and all the good folks of Texas. Grateful. So, not taking a shot, but basically saying they didn't want me here anymore. And I understand the concept that if I was 20 years old, 21 years old, whatever Parker Livingston is, and I worked my butt off, got up, and then earned my spot as a starter on the team, thought I did okay, and then at the end of the season they go, Parker, we're just letting you know we'd love you to be here, but we're hoping you're not a starter next year because we want better players. I would understand that would take that, as someone who wants to be really great, as a shot. Like, you'll be able to compete again, yeah, but we're hope against hope that we get better players than you in the portal, and you will not be a starter for us next year. That's the reality of what it is. And so I understand where he comes from, which is, when I get told I'm a starter and then get told we don't want you to be a starter anymore, you can say, well, they don't want me here anymore. That's a message to me. You don't want me here. Is if you say if you're benching me, basically, you're telling me you don't want me anymore. And I get he could stay and compete. I get that there was definitely NIL money on the table. It was not here's a $0 offer, so you get out of here. But I think it was the same thing for Trey Wisner. Where Trey Wisner, they walked in and they go, we're going to go try and get two more guys, plus the young guys on the bench behind you. You're going to have to compete for your spot again. And you go, man, I was a 1,000-yard rusher, and then you didn't give me any help this year. What the hell do you want from me? Let me go somewhere where they at least want me. You don't want me. And so I get that when you're young and you're believing yourself and everything else. And once you feel you've proved yourself, it's frustrating to have to do it again. We all did in our careers when we were in our 20s, and we achieved something in our career and then got told it wasn't good enough. And it's heartbreaking. So I understand it completely, of what that feels like when you're a kid, and or a young man, I should say. And you get that news. That is heartbreaking, because you thought, me and Arch have a good thing going. I'm looking at the positives. I had a great time at the Citrus Bowl. I think everything's going peachy. And then I get told, basically, man, we're trying to be better. And, you know, you came short a few times. And so that's a reality. That is the state of the game today. The way he phrased it did make it seem more that he was being pushed out the door, but it's how you feel about it. We've seen that in pro sports all the time, Matt, of a player gets basically sent down or knocked down a rung, and then they're like, trade me. If you don't want me here, trade me. And so we've seen that plenty of times in sports. It feels like this is kind of that. And for a young man, I get it, and I wish him the best. I'd prefer him not to be Oklahoma too, though, man.
Yeah, nobody wants to see him catching passes in Oklahoma. Hold on, sorry. I think Jeff Banks just retweeted me. Hell yeah.
There you go.
Look, it's a cutthroat business now, and that's just what it is. It's no longer the old days of college football where you sign a guy and he's here for 4 or 5 years and he's a hometown hero like Jordan Shipley. You know, the days of the Jordan Shipley are gone because, you know, there's too much impatience. There's too much money being thrown around. These elite players are entering the portal. And if you don't keep up with the times, then you're going to fall behind. And Texas is just trying to stay ahead of the times. They offer him a very generous NIL deal that's not Cam Coleman level or anything like that, but Yeah. They're like, hey, we want you to stay. We just, you know, we're going to bring in some guys that are going to have an opportunity to keep you off the field a little bit more, and you're not going to be the number one wide receiver in this offense ever.
Yeah.
And that's okay, because that's just the name of the college football game these days. It's more like the NFL than ever before, and it's going to continue to be that way until they put some clamps on it, and I don't think that they ever will.
Nope, I don't. I think it'll change way differently eventually, but not necessarily in the best way. So we saw where some of those guys are going in the Parker Livingston. I know people got up in arms in it because you take both sides of it. I've heard the same stuff you have, Matt, that there was like, he was offered money. He was offered more money than you make right now. And he decided not to take it. I get it. Bet on yourself. When you're a young athlete, you have to so many times bet on yourself. If you try and be a hero for somebody else, it can come back to bite you. We've seen that happen too, where someone's been like, I'm staying to play, and then they get regulated to the bench, and then their hopes and dreams. Now, Parker Livingston may never be an NFL wide receiver, but he may.
He could.
He's borderline. You know, he's a borderline, could be a guy who gets into the game, and then once he gets, all he needs to get a chance to be in a practice squad, and who knows, right? You're in the right place, the right time, and the right team, and who knows what can happen. So, for him to go chase his dream, do that, man. You're young. Go chase your dreams. Would love to have him stay on the team for sure. Sad to see Arch Manning post sad faces on Instagram. But at the end of the day, those things happen. That is a business. It is why this transfer portal is so big for Texas, though, because you have set the line in the sand and said, we're letting go Trey Wisner. We're letting go DeAndre Moore. We're letting go of Parker Livingston. We're not negotiating on those because we want to negotiate with someone that we feel can be a bigger help for us and change what we're doing. It's a different tactic than they have used the last several years. And that's why when they take this different tactic and don't give you the immediate results, it's anxiety driving. Let's say that. I won't say it's bad or anything else, but it's anxiety driving. So with all that being said, we're gonna still believe in good things. It's still a long 11 days until the portal closes, so there's still a lot that could happen. There's still a lot of players who are not in the portal yet who will be in the portal. There's still another playoff game, two playoff games, and two playoff teams that will be in the portal. And then hell, Ole Miss is gonna have to deal with a lot on Saturday and Sunday. Well, they're in the national championship and they feel pretty good about it. And then their portal will still open up after the national championship. But we know, we just said earlier, a lot of people follow their coaches. And so we know some Ole Miss players will follow to LSU. It just is what it is. People follow their coaches. That's who recruited them. That's who they want to go play for.
The good news is Trinidad Chambliss will not be one of those players.
No, but he may also not be staying at Ole Miss.
But at least he won't be at LSU. No,
Trinidad Chambliss did say today that he would be staying with Ole Miss if he gets the waiver okayed for another year of college football.
Yeah, and I think reports have come out also that Texas is in the conversation for a starting Ole Miss offensive lineman.
Yep.
Should he enter the portal? I'm not going to give that name because I don't want to ruin it. but, you know, if you get the two Michigan guys and you get that guy,
you're starting to feel real good. Starting to feel good. Again, you want a guy, you want to grab from big places, have been trained well with good coaches, especially at positions like that where you just want to find people with really good coaches. So yes,
CB.
He's ready to come.
But yeah, back to the conversation about watching where players go and all that stuff. I'm really happy for a couple of these young guys that are going to get really good opportunity to prove what they're worth. Caleb Chester is going to have an excellent opportunity at Arizona State. That's a really good program, and he's going to come in and have an opportunity to compete early and often, which, given the way that the Texas cornerback depth chart is right now, I don't think he would have gotten at Texas. So you take the opportunity to go play and get a little bit of extra money and be a part of a really good program. And, you know, the same isn't necessarily said for Aaron Butler, because Oregon State isn't exactly the top program in America, but he will have an opportunity to go out there and be a difference maker and be a number one wide receiver type for them, which could be a springboard for him entering the portal again and going to a big time program, you know, later on in the process. But he's going to have a really good opportunity. I don't know if Malik Murphy is going to stay there or not. I can't remember, and I haven't heard if he's entering the portal or what, but
how many years of eligibility does he have left?
I think he might have one. he might have one if he has any. I don't know if he's going to be there or not. I can't remember. But regardless, you know, he's going to be a wide receiver one type opportunity there. And Nate Kibble is going to find somewhere to land. Connor Stroh ended up at Kansas, which is probably a lot better of a fit for him than being in the SEC. And there will be more guys that have entered the portal that'll find other places to land that'll be really good. So.
Yeah,
I'm happy for all the players that are finding good places to land, particularly Trey Wisner. Like, Florida State has a chance to be really good with Gus Malzahn as the offensive coordinator. You know, they just got to find the right quarterback and they got to figure a few things out. He's going to be a really good stabilizing presence for that offense, though, I think, and have an opportunity to succeed in the ACC, which is not as much of a grinded out physical league as the SEC is from a week to week basis now. Miami is one of those teams that is very physical and difficult to go up against, as Ohio State figured out over the last week. But for the most part, it's going to be a very friendly environment for him, I believe.
Yeah, no, I it's a great landing spot for him, and excited to see that he is landing where he is. Yeah, and CB, none of us want Parker to end up in Norman. None of us want him to end up.
Hey, Ole Miss just got another portal commitment.
Oh yeah,
so Jaheim Otis out of Colorado, former Alabama commit, has committed to Ole Miss. Defensive tackle. Love to see it.
There you go.
Got to tweet my shark real quick.
Before we move on to some NFL talk, and we'll keep talking portal. We're keeping our eye on it as well. If you guys got questions or whatever you want to talk about, we always try and keep up with you as well. But as my man Chan says on the text sign, Texas men's basketball team is definitely anxiety driven as well. Yes, watching Texas men's basketball, terrible again. And this is a team that, like, I don't want to overstate things. They're going to win another game this year, but there's a world we don't win another basketball game this year. It's a real world we don't win another basketball game this year. Completely real. Because there's not enough good players on this team. And Sean Miller has not found a way to make most of them better. And so Texas has a lead against Mississippi State, but once again, foul problems get the best of them. Is Dalen Swain, who's doing everything for Texas offensively, 34 points for them, because they have to start playing him at the four because they just don't have power forwards. Once again, roster construction, not there. And it ends up that they give up the lead. Jordan Pope can't hit a shot late. Giving Jordan Pope the ball when he's 9 points and he's not on, instead of going to a Tremont Mark who did have 20 points in the game, or even trying to get the ball to Modest, or trying to get the ball to anybody other than Jordan Pope, who wasn't hitting shots at the end. But all that stuff at the end for Sean Miller and this team right now, I keep hearing, I don't know how Chris Ogden has not, his name has not come up. Like, I'm not saying fire Chris Ogden. I'm saying Chris Ogden cannot be the general manager next year and expect to be a good team. Clearly, I would get rid of every scout we have and start over, but we have to have better scouts. Whoever's building these teams and has been for the last 3 or 4 years, or last 4 years, I'll say, which is Chris Ogden's been the GM. We've been back with Texas. We get players based on their upside, not the reality, not their consistent play. We get players based on upside. And it's a terrible way to get players in any sport. Is, well, if they play great, then they're great. But consistently, we don't know what team is showing up for Texas. Defensively, there's players that can play defense for this team. There's players who can play offense. And apparently no one can do it on the same night. And Dalen Swain can play defense for a three, but he's having no luck trying to guard big guys in the middle without Fallon. So there's just so many ways to beat Texas and not enough ways for Texas to win. And this is, you know, that as much as we watched the last couple of years and RT got blamed for a lot of these things, roster construction sucked then. And our roster construction sucks now. So it's just frustrating. We play three ranked teams in a row now. I don't expect to even compete. I don't expect to be, like, we're not covering the spread, I don't think, in any of these games, unless the spread's huge. I just don't really have any faith in this team right now. Like, they played decently, but this is a Mississippi State team you had to beat. You had to beat. And they just made too many bad decisions, gotten too many fouls. Sean Miller has a quote that, you know, I don't know how many times you tell a kid to not run in the street. If you tell them over and over again, they run the street and then they go get hit by a bus, it's still your fault because they're your parent, because you're their parent. But I mean, you told them a bunch of times. And I hate the quote, because you're basically saying, I can't coach these kids. So quit. We'll go get another coach. We'll go hire RT again. He cares. He coached them last year. Don't give me that shit. It's such a BS answer from a coach. Oh, no, I told him to not foul. Cool. Teach him how to not foul, or don't be a coach. But don't walk out with that and go, I'm telling them what to do. Yeah, it's coaching. It's hard. That's why you get paid millions of dollars. So I don't want to hear millions of dollars. Oh, it's the kid's fault. Then get out. I don't want you here. I don't believe that's real. I think that he is trying. I think he is trying to coach these kids. But if that's his attitude, I'm telling him not to foul and they're still fouling, then I don't ever want to see him coach another game anywhere, any level of basketball, because that's a BS way to get out of it. Well, I told him not to foul. Cool. Teach him how to play defense then. Because if you're not doing that, what are you doing? It's every game he calls him out. Every game he calls him out. And they're not any better. I'm tired of it at this point. It's your job to fix this. You are a millionaire for coaching basketball. Millions of dollars. And you want to come out here and go, the players aren't learning enough. That's your one job, is to coach them up. So it's what did Mike Tomlin say? Run to coaching. I always love that quote. Right now, Sean Miller's running to the podium to tell people why it's not his fault we suck. And it's not completely. The roster construction's bad, but you know who should have helped build this roster? Sean Miller. I think Sean Miller still has a bright future at Texas, but if this is the attitude, then he doesn't. And he'll be gone in 2 years because he's just going to keep coming up and bitching and moaning every time. So I'm done with his bitching and moaning. He came out also and said, we don't have a power forward. So we're playing 4-on-5. Again, getting paid millions of dollars to figure this stuff out, and you don't care to do it. You care to walk out after and explain why it's not your fault. It's your fault. Now, I get you on the roster. I don't expect you, but you can't tell me every time these players are not playing well. They're playing worse than they played last season when I wasn't the coach. And Kendall Weaver is now an objectively worse player than he was a year ago. And Tremone Mark is roughly the same player he was a year ago. And Jordan Pope is the same player he was a year ago. But I'm the better coach, and I deserve the money.
Well, what do you want him to say?
I want him to say, I'm fixing this. I want him to fucking fix something. It's not complicated. But if you walk out and go, I tell them not to foul, I want him to go out there, and I want him to bench players. Put in the backup scrubs then. I don't care. You have to do something. You can't play eight players and tell me you don't have eight. I'm done with his every game blaming it on the players.
No, I get that for sure. I'm not saying that he should be saying that. What I'm saying is, he first of all, I believe that he is trying to fix these things. I think he is coaching his butt off to try to fix them.
Of course he's trying to.
And I don't think that there's only so much you can do with what you currently have before you have to be like, we can't win with this. Now, do I want him to go out there and say, you know, all the things that he said? No. I want him to fix it behind the scenes, and I totally agree with you when he shouldn't be saying this stuff. But I don't blame him for being frustrated, because I don't think that this is the roster that he necessarily envisioned when he took the job at the University of Texas. So maybe this is him just airing out his frustration, which, you know, you can take whichever way you want. I tend to agree with Patrick. I don't think that it should be a thing that you go out on a nightly basis and just roast your players without roasting yourself. I think he should be taking a lot of the blame rather than putting it on his players and that kind of thing. But at a certain point, like, your frustration does begin to boil over, and you have to say, like, look, we need to make changes here, and you need to let me build this roster with the players that I want the way that I want to build it.
I agree.
And maybe by him doing this, he's kind of signaling to CDC or whoever it is that we need to make a change in our player, you know, player development and player acquisition department, so that I can do the things that I want to do here. And I don't think that he's necessarily going about it the right way, but I don't blame him for being as frustrated as he is, because if I'm a Texas basketball fan, I'm frustrated as hell, because you blew what, a 19-point lead, was it? Or what was the lead they had against Mississippi? Or that was the women's team.
No, what, yeah, they blew, I think we had 7 with like a couple minutes to go in this.
Yeah, you blew a what should have been, I think you had a 94% chance or 93.7% chance or whatever to win that basketball game, and you ended up blowing it. And there were things that happened in that game, like Cam Heidi and I think Dalen Swain going for a rebound, and they end up knocking it into the basket. Like, things like that. That shouldn't happen. You can't put everything on the back of your players. Like, you can't place all of the blame on your players when you're a head coach. It eventually starts to sow seeds of, like, this guy's just throwing us under the bus. Why do we want to play for this guy? So I think that he has to go out there and take a lot more responsibility for what's happening. But he's also kind of handcuffed to a certain degree, because he's got the players that he was given, and he brought in a couple of them himself. Like, I'm sure that he had a say in some of the players that were brought in, but not all of them.
Yeah, but Dalen Swain fouled out. That's the guy. He brought Dalen Swain. That's his big guy he brought.
Yeah.
I mean, he brought Lesina Traore. He says, we don't have a 4. It's Lesina Traore. So who he's yelling at is players he brought. We can't keep doing the same thing. He's talking about fouling, because Dalen Swain fouled out with a minute 42 and a 7-point lead. And then it goes to overtime. And it is, because no one else is consistent enough to do anything on this offense. And then defensively, they just don't have the players to go into it. And I get that. That's my point is, I don't want it to make it seem like Sean Miller shouldn't be the coach, or Sean Miller can't turn Texas basketball into a program that is once again competing to go to the Sweet 16 every couple of years and be in that position. I think he can. But if he's going to treat everything like, well, I tried and it didn't work, then I'm done. Like, that's why you're back at Xavier, because you don't seem to want it more than anybody else does. And I'm not saying he's not working hard, but it just doesn't feel like he wants it more. It feels like right now he's fine with being terrible, and he's just frustrated at the end of the game. And it's extremely frustrating whenever I hear coaches say things like, they won't listen, I can't do it. I'm like, then bench them. Who cares? We may not win another game this season, Matt. So I don't really care who plays at this point. I care that you have a team that is trying to play good basketball. And the fact that you're letting Jordan Pope play as much as he is, if he's going to be a complete mess and not play any defense and not really get you much going offensively, and he's still somehow playing 27 minutes in this game, and Simeon Wiltshire plays 26. I don't like that. I like Simeon Wiltshire more. Plays, but, you know, tries harder to me. Also doesn't jack up so many just, I'm going to take a shots, because the offense isn't really fixed at all, because there's not enough good players on it. So I get it. It's a roster construction. I've said this before with Chris Ogden, the person I like. Chris Ogden, the general manager, was a friendly hire because he was friends with Chris Beard. That's why he's there. And he has proven over the last couple of years he is not qualified to be running the program. I don't know behind the scenes how much power he has and how much that's a fun title that they gave him and how much of that is him handling player development and player acquisition. But this is just unacceptable of what the roster construction has been of let's bring in these lower tier guys and let's bring in a Cam Heidi. And not realize why Cam Heidi was sitting on the bench for Purdue year after year. And they let him walk away. Why? Because they knew he doesn't get a shot up unless you get him a shot. And this team's not good enough to do that. So I'm not saying the future is dark. I'm saying the future this season is really, really dark. I heard Zay say they're an NIT team. I don't think they're an NIT team. Now, maybe they can turn it around. Maybe they figure it out. Maybe they stop running out on the street in front of the bus. Maybe they do. But right now, just the way they just uninspired play on the defensive end of the basketball court and then just going, well, we can't stop anybody. And you're like, Mississippi State's not that good. We're going to have to play way better teams than them. And you couldn't stop them. Foul three-pointers, all this stuff. It's just frustrating basketball to watch. And this is what it's like when I was watching the Spurs 3 years ago, 4 years ago. So they got better because they got more talent. And then, you know, they learned the game and played better. But you watch Spurs 3-4 years ago, and it was just mind-numbing some of the mistakes that they would make. And that's with a great coach. But they were just untalented, not enough talent on the team, a lot of guys trying to do bigger things than they can. And it's there. And CB, I don't think they're worse than that team. Talent-wise, they're definitely not worse than that team. But, I mean, they won't. Could they win 11 games this year? 100%. They could win 11 because they're 9-5 right now. And winning two more games in the SEC is completely, completely possible for this Texas basketball team. They are not fun to watch. There's a lot of potential. And for some reason, our coach thinks the team's uncoachable. And that is extremely frustrating to me. Because either you didn't scout the team, you didn't scout the players well, you didn't talk with anybody, you just came in and said, screw it, keep who we've got, and I'll figure it out. And then you realize you couldn't figure it out, or you're not good at scouting and you're not good at coaching. I don't think you're not good at coaching, but come on, man. Oh, what am I supposed to do? Teach them? Yes. You're not supposed to go, don't walk out in front of the bus. You're supposed to tell them why. You're supposed to show them how. You're supposed to tell them about buses and how they'll die in the street. But if you just tell a kid over and over again, don't walk in the street without a reason, they're going to walk in the damn street. So you have to be able to coach them to teach them the responsible ways to do things. And just saying, don't foul. And I know he's not. I know he's not sitting in a room and going, guys, don't foul. And then he walks off and smokes a cigarette. I don't think that's happening. But I do think he is consistently not punishing them for getting fouls and not punishing them properly to get it drilled in their head. You foul, you're on the bench. We'll lose the next three games. We're going to lose them anyway. Bench your players. Start to send a message, man. Try and turn this around. Give us some hope for what we're doing. But it's right now, he has six players. He has six players. And that's ridiculous that you can't get somebody else to play. You had Nick Cody. You gave up on Nick Cody already. Like, I don't get it. I don't get how he's just like giving up on half this roster. That doesn't seem like good coaching to me. But that also doesn't seem like good roster construction. So I'm just mad at both sides. I'm mad at everything.
I haven't seen Patrick this passionate about something in a long time.
I hate watching bad basketball, Matt. I really hate watching bad basketball.
That's why I don't watch college basketball, Patrick.
I really hate watching it. When you watch it, it's fun and you can get everything going. And, you know, they're going to get in some three-point shooters and stuff. But that's a problem, too, is like you're getting in some young, good, decent players next year. But they're not. I mean, there's very few freshmen who make a real impact in college basketball. And we don't have any of them. So I'm hoping Austin Goosby's really good. And I hope Bo Ogden and all these kids. That's the other problem is if you get rid of Chris Ogden, you're probably getting rid of Bo Ogden too. So there's all these other things at work, but
why you don't fire Chris Ogden. You just give him a different role.
I know. You know? Give him or hire someone, get a president of basketball operations, put him above him. Like somebody who knows how to build a good roster. Cause that is what they're at right now. The fact they didn't go out and get people they needed to get. And I don't know if monetarily they've just been told, we don't care about Texas basketball. Here's $10 million and they're competing just out of their element with money. But it's not good. Not good. What's up, Navon? Appreciate you. Royal Ivy would be a really fun coach because he would coach defense really hard and really go after people, but I don't know. And CB, I don't want Chris Ogden fired. I just don't think that this job is for him. I think there's other things he could do for the University of Texas. General manager is not one of them. And he may not even be doing most of that stuff. He was literally given the title because he got hired by Chris Beard and he wasn't good enough to be on the assistant coaching staff. That's what happened. And I don't even know if he's not good. Chris Beard didn't want him on the assistant coaching staff. He hired other coaches and pushed Chris Beard off of the bench. That's what happened. And then they gave him the job to keep him around because they basically told him to quit his other job to come here. That's what happened. So that's why I get upset about it, because I was there watching it all happen. And he kind of backed into being the general manager. And then when our roster construction has been bad for 3 to 4 years, you just go, well, I don't know. I'm not back in that room, but I can tell you when I look at it, there's a name and a title, and that title comes with roster construction. And that's what, if we hire a coach and he says we have six players, what do you want me to think? That the GM did a good job? We got to fire Sean Miller and get a new coach? It's one or the other. Somebody screwed up.
Yeah. Somebody screwed up.
That's why it's frustrating. It's because somebody screwed up and it doesn't feel like there's any accountability whatsoever within this team right now. None from the players who won't play defense, none from the coaching staff who keeps saying that, nope, the players just won't do it, and none from upper management to say, yeah, man, we didn't put together the roster. Where we fired RT because he didn't have a roster, and the only reason we were competitive last year is because he had played or coached his dad, Trey Johnson's dad. So that's why we were competitive. So RT brought in Trey Johnson. That's the only reason.
Should have just paid Trey Johnson like $10 million to stay for one more year.
He went out so fast. And now, granted, he's on the Wizards now, so maybe he'd want to come back.
He's like, shit, I got to go to the Wizards. I might as well stay at Texas.
Oh, man, no. I don't want to go. Maybe he'll be in that Trey Young trade. Trey Young rumors that he is working for a trade right now and working with Atlanta to get a trade, and the Wizards are the front runners to try and trade for Trey Young.
There's no place I'd rather Trey Young end up than the Washington Wizards.
You mean the Oklahoma basketball GM? Somewhat an honorary title for some of these guys, but they help with recruiting. So that's why they get to be there, because they help with recruiting and they help with NIL. Matt, a little bit of NFL talk before we get out of here. With the NFL playoffs set now, we do know what we'll be watching next weekend. And we can now get into what we think are some of our favorites here. In the AFC, the Broncos end up getting the bye with the number one seed, and that leaves the Jags and Bills in a really good first-round matchup. That game's going to be in Jacksonville, but the Bills are currently favored in that game. The punishment for beating, for winning that game is playing the Bills in round one. That's doesn't seem like the best thing, but that game's going to be a lot of fireworks between Trevor Lawrence, who has been playing really, really good football as of late, and Jacksonville's been playing really well, and a Buffalo team that hasn't been playing great, but just has so much more playoff experience.
Yeah, I'm holding on for dear life that Buffalo just absolutely destroys Jacksonville, because Jacksonville is just one of those teams that just feels like they don't deserve to be in the playoffs, even though they're what, 12-5 or 13-4 or whatever.
Yes.
Like they're one of those teams that, like, you should never be in the playoffs ever. You're gross. You're ugly. You're in a bad city. Your quarterback's annoying. And I picked the Bills to win the Super Bowl before the year started, so I really tried to hold on to that one as well. But I think that Josh Allen will do it. You know, I think he'll get the job done. As much as they were kind of inconsistent down the stretch, I feel like they're still one of the better teams in the NFL. So, you know, I feel like they'll get it done at least.
We also get the Patriots and the Chargers in an interesting matchup there of two teams that I think people thought the Chargers were going to be a little bit better than they were this season, and no one had the Patriots being the two seed in the AFC. So an interesting matchup to see I mean, the Patriots have just played well all season, but now you're in the playoffs. Can you continue on with what you're doing? So I'm excited to see that matchup and where the Patriots end up going. Of course, the seeds do reset, I believe, so there is no quite bracket for the NFL, so you don't know who your second round matchup would be. But the Patriots would, if they do win, would not have to play the Broncos. They would then end up playing the winner. If they, the Bills win, they would end up playing the Bills. So they would have to play the matchup again because that would be the sixth seed. The Jags win, they play the winner of the Texans and the Steelers. So the Patriots and Chargers, though, interesting matchup there, Matt, to see if Drake May and the hype is real once they get into the playoffs. They get a home game, though.
Yeah, I'm kind of pulling for this team to a certain extent because nobody believed in them to start the year, and I can't believe that the words are coming out of my mouth that I'm cheering for the Patriots. But it is a really cool story. I like Mike Vrabel a lot. Drake May has been really good this year. I think Matthew Stafford got his name back in the MVP lead, though, after this past week. I'm just saying, you know, it's still there. But, yeah, I mean, I'm very desperate for new blood in this whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't – like, the last thing that I want to see is the Steelers – getting there, because I'm so tired of the Steelers. Like, I want four teams in the conference finals that we haven't seen in the conference finals for a while, and that would also include the Patriots, who, so I, even though I'm pulling for them, I'm kind of like, yeah, just win one and then kind of go away. What I mean? But that's going to be a tough matchup. Justin Herbert's been playing well. The Chargers are a really good team. They're a bit inconsistent as well, and I don't want to take away anything that the Patriots have done this year, because it's been really impressive to come back from being, you know, one of the worst teams in the NFL to being the number two seed in the AFC. But they did play a fourth place schedule all year. So maybe they're a little bit inflated. They've beaten some good teams.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see what they actually do when they get to the playoffs.
No, I'm excited to see it too. Drake May, though, Mac Brown guy. So, you know, it's good in the plus there. Yeah,
but he's still a Patriot.
I know. I'm trying to give the positive. He's a Mac Brown guy. And then, yeah, the Texans do pick up a win in a game that was much harder than it needed to be. Their defense has not quite been as deadly as it was earlier in the season, just allowing some dumb plays to happen against them. Riley Leonard looked great against them in the game. And then Alec Pierce looked really good against them in the receiving until he got ejected from the game, meant for touching an official. For complaining about, and it was one of those ones where I was like, even as a Texans fan, I was like, man, that sucks. That sucks that your season ends like that. He got went up for a pass, felt he got pushed out of the back of the end zone before the ball got there. And so he went over to talk to the official trying to get a flag. And when he did it, he had his arm out and he touches him on the arm with his arm. And so the ref immediately throws a flag and they go over and talk. And it feels like the refs are like, do we have to throw him out? And they're like, yep. That's the rule. Touch an official, immediate ejection. Like, you're automatically disqualified if you touch an official. So he ends up getting thrown out of the game, which is, he had like 130 something yards at the time. So he had been playing really well. Texans end up winning, though. So they keep that five seed and get to play. They have to go to Pittsburgh, but that is the matchup you kind of wanted to get into, because you feel much better about playing them than the Jags or playing the Patriots. You feel much better about going and playing this Pittsburgh Steelers team that has some really serious flaws in it as well. DK Metcalf will be back for that game for the Steelers. He'll be done with his 2-game suspension, so they will get a wide receiver back. But now the Texans could be the team to officially put Aaron Rodgers out to pasture, or Aaron Rodgers can make another Texas fan base hate him forever.
Go Texans. God, I need the season to be over for Aaron Rodgers. I was keeping an eye on that game last night and I was like, oh, thank God the Ravens did it, and then they missed that field goal and it was so brutal. But
Justin Tucker would have hit it.
That's not the name that needs to be brought up in this conversation. Okay, there's a reason that Justin Tucker wasn't there to kick that field goal. We all know what it was. Give me a break. But yeah, I mean, you couldn't have hoped for a better matchup if you're the Texans. I mean, that's the team in the AFC that's the most vulnerable. So, you know,
do you think
Aaron Rodgers does scare you a little bit still, because he's Aaron Rodgers? But
do you think JJ Watt is a little bit on the fence about this game?
No.
You think he's all Texans?
No.
You think he's going for his brother?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I would do.
No, I think he's going for the Texans. He's look, a Texans guy.
Look, if I graduated from, okay, here's a good example. If I played football for Ole Miss and my brother played football for Texas, and then Texas was playing Ole Miss in the national championship game, I would want my brother to win a national championship.
No, I get that, but you're it's not the Texans, man. It's gonna... No, I don't know, because they played against each other too, so it's always curious to see if you've got, like, there's a mentality that's different in it. But I know that he is I know he was calling the Texans game on Saturday or on Sunday and was not thrilled every time they would cut in with a break, and like, and the Jags are up by 65 now on the Titans. Like, okay, all right, I don't think we're winning the division.
Well, here's what I will say. He's going to have probably the easiest night of any person who's pulling for a game, because either his brother is going to advance in the playoffs or his team is going to advance. So he'll be all right either way. I'm not worried about JJ.
So that's on the AFC side of things. On the NFC side of things, the Seahawks get the bye and are now the betting favorites to win the Super Bowl. What a day for Pete Carroll, man. The Seahawks completely have rebounded past the Pete Carroll era, and Pete Carroll got fired after one season. Just really, really not a positive day for Pete Carroll and what his legacy is in the NFL. I think he's still great coach, great legacy, but the fact that the Seahawks have completely rebounded, they're the number one seed betting favorites right now with Sam Darnold leading the way. Sam Darnold and Bo Nix, your one seed quarterbacks, Matt, which that is a change of pace for you right there. We get in the matchup, though. Panthers and Rams. Rams got to feel real good about that one, don't they, Matt?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, couldn't have picked a better matchup for me if I'm a Rams fan, which I am now. But
for one more seat, for at least the end of this season.
For at least the end of this season, and then when Nine goes off and rides into the sunset after winning his MVP, I'm probably never going to watch the Rams again. But until then, you know, they couldn't have gotten a better matchup. I mean, every other team in the NFC I would be afraid of if I'm the Rams. Maybe not the Packers without Micah Parsons, but this is definitely the best matchup they could have possibly asked for.
Yeah, the Panthers, who couldn't even win a game against the Bucks to just clinch it. They had to wait for the Falcons to beat the Saints to clinch their playoff division, because they lost that game on Saturday to the Bucks. Now we get the Eagles and 49ers in that matchup as well. This feels like the 49ers are set up in a good place. Eagles team that really has not looked great all season long. Kyle Shanahan has clearly got the coaching advantage in this game, but This will be probably one of the more fun games that we watch. I think Eagles and 49ers of just two more, like, been around teams, have consistently been in the playoffs and consistently been in the Super Bowl picture for the last, what, 5, 7, 8 years, something like that, between those two teams. So that matchup is going to be a ton of fun as well, watching the Eagles and the 49ers try and figure it out with Brock Purdy versus Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I'm go 49ers.
Anybody but the Eagles.
Anybody but the Eagles, man. Also, strike on the 49ers for whatever those jerseys were that they were wearing this weekend. How gross was that? You have the most classic jersey outside of the Dallas Cowboys and the Green Bay Packers in the NFL, and you pull out those alternate BS gross jerseys. Shame on you, San Francisco. Shame on you.
Pulling out the alternate gross 49ers jersey. I'm trying to pull up a highlight, see if I can see.
They're like the all black or.
Oh, yeah.
Gross.
Yeah. No, not a fan of those. No, they're regular jerseys, just too good. You don't need to ever change them. Finally, Bears and Packers. Ben Johnson trying to go in and make a name for himself, beating a Packers team that was thought to be a Super Bowl favorite early in the season, then kind of struggled a little bit. Then Micah Parsons' injury, Caleb Williams, can he get his first playoff win, is going to be the big story here. Packers, tons more experience, but Ben Johnson has just been killing it in his first year as a head coach.
Yeah, how bad do you want to see a Bears versus Patriots Super Bowl? Like two teams that nobody thought was going to be there. I think it would be cool.
I don't know. I don't want the Patriots. I don't.
I mean, I don't, but at the same time, I think it would be a really cool story.
I'd be fine if Boston sports fans never won anything ever again.
Oh, of course.
They've won too much already.
You want the Bears to win that matchup, obviously.
Give it 30 years, and I'll be too old to care anymore. So do then. Come on, a little bit of time without Boston being good at some things. Come on. Give us a little break for Boston sports. But yeah, it's definitely going to be an interesting playoffs. I'm excited for it. Any clear favorites right now for you to win everything, or are you still just waiting? Is it just the Rams? Just Rams for you still?
I'm projecting a Rams-Bills Super Bowl.
Okay. That Bills-Jags is going to be tough. That's going to be tough game. Jags, but Liam Cohen, great job. He's done a great job there in his first year.
I think that playoff experience matters in the NFL, which is why I don't think that the Patriots or the Jags really have a chance to get there. Same with the Bears. I think it matters when you get to the postseason, and the Rams and the Bills are two of the most experienced that there are. And it's also why I think the Eagles are going to last longer than people want them to.
Yeah. I'm all for Texans versus Panthers. I'm for Texans versus Panthers. Yeah. Come on. It's the easiest path we can take, man.
Yeah.
All right, we got to take our second break real quick, Matt. We come back, we'll wrap up the show, see if Matt can get any more transfers to come in the last 5 minutes of the show. Make some calls, Matt.
Ole Miss got one.
Ole Miss got one. We'll see if we get any more of that and get our meathead of the day and wrap things up here on a Monday edition of Open Gym here on Texas Sports Unfiltered.
Hi, I'm Hayden Covert. Welcome to Covert Buick GMC of Bee Cave. Your home in the Hill Country for new and pre-owned Buick and GMC vehicles. With beautiful inventory arriving daily, including the GMC Yukon, Sierra 1500, and Buick Enclave, you'll be certain to find the perfect vehicle at an incredible deal. Our service department is also open for all your vehicle maintenance needs. Visit us today for a test drive. Covert, born and raised in Austin. We are professional grade.
Altstadt Beer, the best beer that you can find all throughout the great state of Texas. Y'all know I've been a fan of Altstadt for years now, and if you try it, I think you will be too. If you've already tried it, you know exactly what I am talking about. Altstadt is brewed locally in Fredericksburg, but available all over the state of Texas. So if you're tuned in Austin, San Antonio, Dallas, Houston, it does not matter. You can find Altstadt at a local grocery store or liquor store. They've got a bunch of different brews. Something for every beer drinker out there. The Lager, the Kolsch, those are their two flagship beers. Both award winners. They are fantastic. The Altstadt Light sacrifices on calories but does not sacrifice on the taste. They've got a great pils, tons of great seasonals as well. I'm telling you, one sip and you won't go back to the other beers you've been drinking in the past. It is the official beer of BK. It should be the official beer of you as well. It's Altstadt beer. No impurities, no regrets.
Hey, y'all, I'm Camille McKay.
And I'm Tom McKay, owner of Audiovisual Consultations.
The old man and I are here to give you your summer weather forecast. It's hot.
That's right, kid.
Which means it's time for pool parties, grilling burgers, and taking a beach vacation, right?
Well, I don't know about a vacation, but Audiovisual brings more heat than any tropical destination.
It was worth a shot. I'll settle for some outdoor speakers.
You know, Audiovisual can do a lot more than that. We provide outdoor video screens, audio systems, landscape lighting, even solar shades for your patio to keep the Texas heat at bay.
Well, I'm sold. Let's wrap this up. I'm ready to lounge on a floaty and listen to some smooth jazz.
Well, that sounds wonderful, but some smooth reggae is the way to go this summer.
Good thing we can listen to both with the Sonos sound system. I call dibs on the floaty, though. Peace out.
Kid, wait a second. Give us a call at 512-255-8678 or visit us at avconsultations.com. That's 512-255-8678.
Welcome back to Open Gym here on Texas Sports Unfiltered. Wrapping up here on the show, CJ Stroud does have some playoff appearances there. CJ Stroud's been around for a minute. They've made the playoffs. D'Amico Ryans has done a great job as a coach. He just hasn't, you know, hired an offensive coordinator that could make CJ Stroud really good. It's almost like offensive coordinators matter in play calling. You'd be surprised. You know, it's crazy. like how Jared Goff was so good last year, and then suddenly it's Jared Goff's fault that he's bad now. Maybe, just maybe it was Ben Johnson. Maybe that the Bucs weren't as good this year because last year they had Dave Canales, who's in the playoffs, was coach for the Panthers, and Liam Cohen then, who's a player, who's a coach for, so two division winners who used to be your coaches. Maybe that's why. Maybe it does matter to have play callers that can go in there and make your players look better. Matt, let's get to our meathead of the day. It's your buddy just hanging out at bars after winning the division title. Kill the music on that. That is Trevor Lawrence meeting a girl at a bar and then letting her squat him.
You know, if I'm the Jacksonville Jaguars, I'm probably saying, Trevor, no. Like, what if she drops him and he gets hurt?
Yeah, I would also say those aren't great squats. Not great form on that.
Those are terrible squats.
But, you know, she was probably holding a person, which is more difficult. And she also probably did not want to drop him on account of how angry Jacksonville would be at her if she had dropped their quarterback.
Yes. But
yeah, the types of things that NFL teams see and they're like, do not do that. Do not ever again. Don't do that. I know you're having fun, but don't do that. Not fun. No fun. Yeah. All right, we got to get out of here, Matt. Did you get another portal edition?
Not for Texas, but Ole Miss got one. Defensive tackle from Florida. And they're also projected to land Deuce Knight from Auburn.
Come on, man. Come on. All right, well, we got to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow. Hopefully, more action in the portal before tomorrow. We will cover that and more when we get back tomorrow. But until then, be kind, be safe, keep your underwear clean, and we'll see you right back here tomorrow for more from Open Gym.